just started like interviewing my friends who I thought were doing like really cool things at the time. Never really knowing what I wanted to do with my life like after university. I think I just decided to lean in, if I'm being perfectly honest, because I decided to invest in like a studio way before I really had loads of sponsorship and stuff like that. I got my first sponsor from like somebody who was like on LinkedIn, saw that I was growing a podcast and was like, hey, I'm building a platform that helps people with podcasts get sponsorship. I'd really like to connect you in. And then kind of made this loose connection to this brand who wanted to work on podcasts. And I think they paid me £50 an episode, which was less than I was paying for the studio.
It has been a while. Welcome back to another episode of The Millennial Entrepreneur, the leading podcast for young entrepreneurship. It's been so long. Last time I published was in November. Now it's March, so it's been an absolute minute, but thank you for being patient. It's meant the world. I've had a lot of comments from people saying like asking when the podcast is coming back, and yeah, I'm very, very glad that it's back. I've been doing a lot of thinking, a lot of strategizing about where I want this podcast to be, and I'm putting so much more resource and time into the podcast because I want it to be the absolute best it can be. And I know, given you, you know, you guys already love the podcast, it will go to that next level that I really want to take it to. And so a lot of the podcasts will be recorded in person now. We've got a studio, which is amazing. I've already recorded it a few times. So obviously the production value will be a lot greater. We're doing more like short form clips and stuff like that so that you guys can see what to expect in the episodes. And so, yeah, you'll definitely see a bit of a makeover with everything going forward, which I'm really, really excited for. And not to mention, due to you guys being absolutely amazing and, you know, following the podcast for years now, it's almost 3 years that we've started this podcast. It's allowed the podcast to grow to a stage where I can attract some amazing guests on, and I can't wait for you guys to listen to them coming off the podcast. So I've already recorded a few, got another, you know, few in sort of like pipeline, I guess, for like actually recording that, you know, time and diaries. So I can't wait for you guys to listen to this journey. So if you're new to the podcast, then definitely do subscribe, because not only do you allow me to attract, you know, huge new guests, but also you don't miss any of the episodes that come up. So subscribing is a good thing. And also while you're there, it'll be good to leave a 5-star written review as well on Apple Podcasts, subscribe on YouTube, all that sort of thing. But let's kick off. So in this episode, in the opening episode of 2023, I spoke to Gabby Mendez, the founder and host of Talk 20s, a knowledge hub and podcast dedicated to helping people in their 20s figure out life steps, including finance, career, and relationships. We cover why she decided to start Talk 20s and how the original idea for it wasn't actually a podcast, and also how she developed the podcast into an overarching business where she's building other things off of it. And thirdly, the growth strategies she implemented with the podcast. And I know so many of you guys are interested in sort of going down the podcast route. Gabby's motivation behind that podcast was actually a bit more unconventional, and I can't wait for you guys to listen to that story, because for you guys that want to start a podcast, it will definitely inspire you to go down that direction. And for other ones that would just want to start a business, it will also maybe change your opinion and maybe change that lens of what a podcast can be. And so I won't keep you guys waiting any longer for the opening episode. I hope you enjoy. Let's kick off. Hey, Gabby, how are you?
Hey, I'm good, thank you. Thanks so much for having me on your podcast.
It's my absolute pleasure. It's always nice to have a fellow podcaster on the podcast. We haven't had one for a long time. I think the last one we had was a radio host. I think that's the last one I can think of that's like related to what we're doing. So yeah, very, very welcome to come on the podcast. I can't wait to jump into what we're going to be speaking about, because I love what you guys are doing. It's incredibly inspiring. And I love that it started with a podcast and the business is developing from there. And that's what I really want to talk about. So I guess like before we jump in, what is Talk 20s? What was the idea at the beginning?
I graduated from university and just thought, oh my God, what am I doing with my life? And I think I'm not the only person to do that. Like there's not enough support or guidance in university or school that really teaches you the ins and outs of what you're going to experience as an adult. And so when you get to your 20s, it can feel like really daunting. I started off my 20s as a teacher. I didn't love it, but a lot of my students would ask me questions about really practical life skills that were just so crucial. And I was like, why are we not talking about this in school? And like, there has to be some kind of outlet for this. So I left teaching, I started working in events, and I thought this would be like a really cool event. Like I really think like, you know, bringing young people together would be amazing. And then COVID hit. And obviously in-person events were no more, and that just couldn't happen. So I had to pivot my idea And I was like, well, I always thought like a podcast would be really nice to go alongside the event. I'll just do that. And it just took off from there, really. So we're now like 2.5 years in. And yeah, like it's just been an exciting adventure from there. And we've really established ourselves as a podcast first and foremost, but then developing the business from there on. So yeah, it's been an exciting journey.
So the original idea was an event focused on people in their 20s trying to work things out. When you say work things out, what were the sort of like, I guess, general areas that you wanted to really help people in?
Yeah. So at Talk 20s, we have like 4 content pillars that we feel like we try and our best to like support young people with. So they're like the typical standard, like finance and money, like trying to figure out all of that. Career and business. So where you start out in your career and where you end up in your 20s is often an incredible journey. We talk about well-being and relationships. So your mental health and the people you surround yourself with, both romantically and your friends and your family. A lot of stuff changes in your 20s around that. And then lastly, adventure and culture, because we believe that you should have fun in your 20s just as much as you stress about all the serious stuff. You should be having fun and enjoying yourself and enjoying whatever culture it is that you've kind of surrounded yourself with or been brought up in. So there are 4 content pillars that we speak about and kind of organize our content around. Yeah.
So COVID hit, you decided to pivot into a podcast that would accompany the events that would be coming. So how did you actually start a podcast? Because I started it in COVID also. Couldn't do recordings in person. I've still kind of kept the whole thing of keeping it online. And I probably will pivot that, to be fair, next year. But yeah, so how did you start that?
Yeah, I just started like interviewing my friends who I thought were doing like really cool things at the time. Like, so friends who had like businesses or like Miss Curve UK or yeah, just like really cool people like that. And I just started having them on the podcast. And it's just really snowballed to now having, you know, quite big names, big creators, big, you know, young entrepreneurs. We've got an actor coming on tomorrow, like finance coaches, basically anyone who has a big level of influence in their 20s and can provide a bit of scope and insight for the people that tune into the podcast. Yeah, like I said, it's just snowballed. And yeah, and we now record in person as well in a studio.
So how did it grow in the first place though? Because so loads of people started a podcast during COVID. I know so many people that started one, but not many have continued to this point. So something must have, like, what were the growth strategies when it came to the podcasting?
Yeah, I weirdly think like utter persistence. Like, I remember right at the beginning, like I used to like put an episode out and it would have really long 25 listens after like a good like few weeks. And I was thinking, oh my God, is this how podcasting is? Like, this is awful. So I used to start... This is really in the early days, and it's funny now, but I used to start like send out a postcard to all of our guests once they hit 100 listens, and I'd send them a postcard and be like, thank you so much, your episode has hit 100 listens, like right in the early days. And I feel like that just really gave me the momentum to be like, okay, like if we can get it to that, if we can get to 100, we can get it to 1,000, we can get it to 3,000, and just keep pushing it from there. And that like lasted for a little while, and then it just started building traction, and it started, you know, people started sharing it and saying, you know, this is the podcast that you need to guide you through your 20s and stuff like that. And now, like, I'm very fortunate to wake up and I would have to send that postcard like straight away with the podcast going live. But like, I have to say, like, it wasn't an easy journey. And podcasting is one of those things that you just have to stick at it, like continuously. You're in it for the long game. And I think a lot of people like want a really quick reaction. But the long game, like the best, I know I'm in like a lot of industry newsletters and stuff like that, but the best podcasts that are doing really well have been going for a long time. Like they just have.
Yeah, I think people look at like Stephen Barlett, they look at Joe Rogan, they look at the money that they've made with their podcasts. And I feel like they get a very wrong perception of what podcasting is. And when the people that started it during COVID, they didn't get the results very quickly early on. They were like, oh, this isn't that great. And I was the same position as you. I was putting stuff out there, 25 listens after a few weeks. I'm like, oh, is it even worth the time? And mm-hmm. back then I was doing all the editing as were you.
Yeah, probably. Same. Yeah.
And it was just like a ton of effort. Mm-hmm. And I was like, is this actually worth it? But I think you're right. It's the persistence that pays off. And I did a solo episode about this, and the amount of opportunities that I've got and the amount of opportunities that you've got as well from podcasting has been like, it's obscene. Like it, that it's crazy. Like, so I'm massively like appreciative of being persistent. And I think anyone is, the opportunity is not gone. Like, you can still start a podcast now if anyone's like thinking about it, but you just have to think about it as a long-term plan, because you won't get results early unless you've already got an audience from elsewhere. But again, that audience building up wherever you were, like, probably took time to do as well. Yeah. Right. So,
and I'll be honest with you, yeah, I think there's definitely two ball camps that you sit in here, and maybe most of your listeners will sit in one, but like, I started as a nobody. I was nobody when I started my podcast. And I think, like, Sinner, your situation is very similar. You didn't have a big profile to launch your podcast into. Like, we see Spotify throwing money at influencers and this celebrity, because they know that with their already existing audience, that if they launched a podcast, they're going to get thousands and thousands of listens overnight because they already have a platform. Starting out a podcast as a complete nobody, as having a mission, having a vision of what you want to do, you have to be prepared for a bigger challenge, because you just don't have that listen to this episode and it's going to change your life. You know, people yeah. want to, and that's why, like, the biggest podcasters only interview guests that, like, you know, I think a lot of people say to Stephen Bartlett, I just want to hear you speak to like an average person, like not a like celebrity or CEO. And he full on tells people, no one would tune in. No one would tune into my podcast. So like, it's a really tricky one. That profile will give you a big head start. And if you haven't got a big profile already, then you definitely have to be prepared for a harder journey and a more of an uphill journey than others. Because marketing a podcast, as I'm sure you know, is tricky. And like, getting the traction, getting the reach there, like it's difficult, but as you and I have proven, it's definitely not impossible. So yeah.
Given the original plan for Talk 20s was actually an event business, I wanted to ask Gabby, in the early stage of the podcast, when she was kind of growing it, was there any point in that journey that she was tempted to give up on the podcast, given that it wasn't the core focus of what she was trying to do at the beginning? And so I wanted to ask her about that. But before we go on, I want to tell you quickly about the podcast's new sponsor, Zencastr. So I get messages a lot, you know, maybe every week, saying, you know, how do I do a podcast remotely? A lot of people are getting into it. Recording a podcast remotely can be quite difficult and challenging. And platforms such as Zoom, you know, Google Meets, whatever, they're not built for podcasting. So that means when you record it, the sound quality doesn't sound too good. And if there's a absence or breakage in sound, then the end user, so the listener, actually picks it up. I have been obsessed with the sound quality since day one, and as a result, I've searched long and hard for a platform that let me, you know, podcast remotely without that breakage in sound and, you know, optimizing quality. And the platform that I came across that I've been using for 2.5 years now across all the podcasts that I do is Zencastr. Now, Zencastr makes the podcasting experience so easy. And, you know, everything from local recording, which basically means that my sound records on my side and their sound records on their side. So you get two different audio files that you can put together and post. And so the sound is extremely clear. And if you don't believe me, you can look back at all my episodes that I've recorded. Apart from episode one, number 100, which I recorded in person, every other one I've used Zencastr to record. So if you want to use Zencastr, and I don't know if I should say this, but in actual fact, it's a free tool. So I've been using the free package for 2.5 years, and it's an amazing tool. So I highly recommend that you sign up if you are looking into podcasting remote. It's the best tool that I've been using, and I'm not switching anytime soon. Now, I want you guys to have the same easy experience as I do for all my podcasting and content needs. So if you're interested in the paid or free package, then there is a link in my description that starts with zen.ai. Click that link, you know, sign up to whatever package that you want. If you are looking for more sort of specialty package, such as like all the editing stuff to be taken care of, then you can use my link and it'll give you 30% off your first 3 months. Otherwise, you can use the free package, which is what I've been using for 2.5 years. So thank you so much. Let's go on with the episode.
Yes, and I think I just decided to lean in, if I'm being perfectly honest, because I decided to invest in like a studio way before I really had loads of sponsorship and stuff like that. So I really like was like, okay, like I was doing, it was funny because sponsors did want to work with me, but they were not interested in sponsoring the podcast. They're like, would you do this social media post? And it would be like a social media post and I'd get like, you know, however much money, and I'd plow that all into like studio space to be able to up level my podcast. So I think I did just, once I kind of saw that the podcast was doing well and people enjoyed coming onto it and was getting listens, I really did lean in because I thought, you know, I've pretty much done one. We had a short break over the summer to do before the relaunch, but I've pretty much done one every 2 weeks for 2.5 years. And now we're weekly again. So it's a lot of effort. And I think I just enjoyed doing it, enjoyed getting the feedback, but I have not let go of the events idea, of the platform, you know, the learn platform idea that really develops on this, because my background as a teacher is so much more, like, I know this platform can be so much more than a podcast because it's quite passive.
I think the important thing though, Gabby, is that if everyone's listening, what I hear from that is like, you had the idea of, okay, the problem that exists is that people in their 20s don't have enough sort of, I guess, resource after they finish university or school. They don't have enough sort of guidance after that. And even at university and school, they don't have a lot of the guidance that you're trying to offer anyway. Whether it's an event or whether it's a podcast, whether it's a weekly newsletter, it doesn't actually matter. The event was just the medium in order to deliver that information. And so for you pivoting into a podcast for, like, I guess the short term before COVID died down, COVID didn't obviously die down. It took like 2.5 years. I just think it's important to highlight here that you didn't, I guess, try something else while you're waiting for the event. You probably still do it, but you actually like decide to change the medium, but you deliver the same information that you would have done anyway.
Exactly. You've hit the nail on the head then. Couldn't have said it better myself. Like, it's still the same mission. The mission has never changed. There are multiple ways in which we can provide a solution to this. And in fact, the business will end up being a multimedia business with events, with hopefully some kind of learn app platform, web-based platform, and then all the media, all the socials go along with it. And there are other communities that already exist like this that have raised huge amounts of funding and are really successful. And so, yeah, absolutely. I just changed, the mission was the same, but the medium in which we delivered and solved that problem just pivoted because of the pandemic.
I think that's a really cool thing to highlight for anyone listening, is that don't get too precious on the medium to solve that problem. That problem could be solved through many different ways. And yeah, very, very cool that you've been able to do that. What was like the turning point, I guess? Like, you're growing the audience of the podcast and it is what it is like now, but at what point did you think, like, I want to take this to the next level?
I think I've always just been, never really known what I wanted to do with my life, like, after university. And for me, I think I just have had so much passion for what I was doing. So the turning point for me was deciding to pursue what I'm doing full time, because I felt it was a mission that I could make a full-time living from and was needed in the world. Like, I felt really passionately about that. So the turning point, I guess, was to kind of go all in and tell my family, I believe in my business so much that I'm going to do it full-time, and I'm going to leave my events role to do it. And then from then on, it took probably about, you know, so before that was side hustling, like doing alongside a job. Then for about a year, I was a solo entrepreneur, like still pursuing the podcast, still speaking at events, still consulting, doing a bit of consulting work to also like prop up the bills and stuff like that. And then after about a year, was in a position where we signed a big sponsor and we relaunched the business, in terms of beforehand we had a lot more of a feminine appeal, and it was appealing to much more women in the UK, whereas now we're trying to broaden that reach. So we brought in a new co-host and all of those kind of things. So with the relaunch, we were able to kind of bring in a sponsor, and that has then had another turning point. So there's been a real like key like stages, but it now kind of feels like a legitimate business. And yeah, like, yeah, a bit surreal, but still.
Yeah, that was the question I was going to ask, is like, how did you turn the podcast into a business? Because so many people do this as a lifestyle thing. And that's probably a question I get asked a lot of the time, is like, how do you monetize? As well as like, I guess some of the monetizations are very short term, whereas you're trying to build something very overarching. So like, how do you develop that into a business?
Yeah, it's funny because I've got a lot of like friends who have podcasts as well, like similar, and they always ask me like, Gabs, like how have you monetized? And I try my best to like coach them through, because I genuinely believe that if you've got enough passion and if you find the right sponsor and brands to back you, that anyone can monetize their podcast and their platform. One of the things I would say is package it up. So I'm sure that you are not just posting on your podcast streams like Post and Ghost, like you are probably putting stuff out on socials, you may have a website, you may be speaking at events. Like a sponsor can, if they believe in your mission and they are 100% bought into what you're trying to put out there in the world and who you're trying to help or solve or do with your podcast, why can't they tap into every single part of what you're doing? And of course, the value of that package will change depending on your reach, but there's value there. Like if people are tuning in, like there's an opportunity to monetize. So I definitely believe that you can do that. And I would also say that I just think that like reaching out to brands and kind of putting yourself out there and pitching yourself in, like, just go for it, because you just never know where it can take you. So yeah, that's probably what I would say.
Yeah. You talk about like getting yourself out there and sponsors. How did you actually get your first sponsor? And at what stage, like, were you okay going for the sponsor?
I got my first sponsor, it's not my current one. I got my first sponsor from like somebody who was like on LinkedIn, saw that I was growing a podcast and was like, hey, I'm building a platform that helps people with podcasts get sponsorship. I'd really like to connect you in. And then kind of made this loose connection to this brand who wanted to work on podcasts. And I think they paid me £50 an episode, which was less than I was paying for the studio, but was helpful towards it. And they did like a 6-episode block, and there was like nothing else to it. And they were like, not sure we've got any app downloads from this and what have you. And I would say that like ultimately that 6-week campaign was probably a bit of a like flop, but I learned so much from that opportunity, because I was like, I know how I would do this so differently next time and how I would do this better. So I was able to put together like a long-term strategy. I was like, this is the vision. This is where Talk 20s is going. This is how you can affiliate your brand with us. We can, you know, we can do all these different podcast ads, but we can also do social content. You can be on our website. We can talk about you when we do host events and stuff like that. And we really moved down that kind of route. And I took away that this is X per episode opportunity, and I put it into a big package, and looked at the long term. I was like, we are hoping to do this in the next 12 months. Do you want to come along for the ride? Like, basically, that's how we then secured our big sponsor.
How would you do that? Would you just like email them? Like, what's the actual like medium in order to like contact these people?
I reached out to a lot of people on LinkedIn. I already had an existing relationship with this brand. I'd worked with them on a smaller campaign. So I do think like if you've already worked with a brand before, go back to them and pitch them your dream. If they've already worked with you, it probably means they believe in what you do. And then I pitched, you know, the opportunity in with them, and they were, you know, keen. Like, obviously you do have to be speaking to the right people, but they weren't the only company that were interested in sponsoring us. So it was, you know, there's multitudes of companies that are out there, but I definitely think like some kind of trial or opportunity to showcase that you believe in what they're doing and they believe in what you're doing, and in turn you'd be a good partnership, always helps, because you can kind of prove yourself from there.
And with that, so I think that the primary source of income for the business is through sponsorship, right? Yeah. As with like most podcasts. So you've managed to get that as like the income to be able to like, I guess, build a team out of it, which is amazing. Like, that's incredible. So you've got like yourself, obviously, but then like two other people in the team. Just to like highlight to other people listening, like the amount of sponsorship you could get is like really, you can build the team around it, which is an amazing thing. So yeah, massive congratulations there. So what's the sort of like next step for Talk 20s now?
This is literally like, I still see this as day one. Like, you know, this is us like really like stepping into business land. So for us, it is really mapping out and building on that. Like, you know, market wise, you want to kind of dominate the postgraduate market. So, you know, people are aware that like when you graduate, Talk 20s is your go-to for anything that you need support with. But that means we really need to like level up once again. Like, obviously a lot of people love the podcast and what we produce and do for the website, but we think we can also do it even better in person at events, and also with a Learn platform or an app that is specific to, you know, help Gen Zs and millennials through this time. So yeah, probably the next 12 months looks like fundraising and hopefully more hires along the way in order to kind of really, you know, produce what we do, but through different mediums. And like we were chatting before, Sina, like how a podcast is a really good way of proving traction between of your mission. So like, you know, we have X amount of people listen to the podcast. That proves that like young people want to talk about this, young people want to listen to this, like it's helpful for them. We can provide that information. Same with like social media following and stuff like that. And then that's when you can go into a room full of investors and say, we need X amount to do this, and this is how we're going to deliver on it. And that's kind of the future for us, really.
Yeah, because essentially you've built a audience that is incredibly like easy for you to tap into.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, because the big questions that investors ask is like, is there an audience? Yes or no? And if so, how easy is it for you to get that audience? Now, those are two big question marks, especially for like any business that doesn't have like something like tangible for them to give. Like if it's just an idea, concept, an investor will only really get on board if like there is some validation there. And with a podcast, it's one of those underrated tools that it doesn't really get utilized, really. I guess it might be the time horizons, I think, to be honest. But like you can get an audience that believe in the message you're trying to convey. And also it's very easy for you to tap into them. And they can very easily as well shape the business proposition that you're giving out. And so I think from an investor's point of view, it's incredibly easy for them to invest in you, because like you've answered their two biggest question marks.
Yeah, I hadn't thought about that, but that's the pitch that I'm going to use in my event on Friday when I need to, you know, convince investors to go for it. But yeah, I think you're so right. You've proven there that you've got an engaged audience who want to listen to the stuff that you provide. But I think that there needs to be a clear vision for how it's monetizable. So like, sponsorship is kind of a bit never ending. Like you can, if you want, have 27 sponsors on a podcast, but like at what point do your listeners get pissed off? Like
it's definitely a balance.
That's like what you need to, yeah. You know, like there is like uncapped potential, I guess, in sponsorship, but then at the same,
you have to keep growing your audience. So that's another thing. Yeah. You have to just, as with any business, to be fair.
But yeah, obviously, as long as you keep growing your audience and it's not declining, then yeah, of course. So yeah, so there is like a lot of opportunity in that. But then it's also about looking at the other opportunities of going, okay, well, there are other ways that we can monetize the business as well. So I'm bringing that into the mix as well.
So what are you thinking about now in terms of next steps? So yeah, raising funding, events are on the cards. Like what else are you kind of thinking about? Because this is a big problem, actually, I think, for like people in their 20s. They don't really know what opportunities are out there, like how to manage money, like mental health, relationship. There's a lot of question marks you have to deal with when you're in your 20s.
Well, one of the first things that we want to do is a huge research project to really understand the scope of what our audience and our listeners really want and need. What are the problems they're facing every single day, and how can we help and solve them? And then build, you know, through different our mediums, you know, like our events, how can we make sure we're answering those problems at an event? How can we make sure we're answering those problems through an app or whatever? So the next step for us is kind of like idea validation. So in the world of like tech, that's basically thinking, I've got a great idea for an app or a platform or a website or something like this, but I need to go out and make sure that it's not just me that's deep in my head and all these thoughts that think this is amazing. Like people would actually use this. And if they would use it in this kind of way, but not this kind of way, or they think that that would be helpful, but that wouldn't be helpful, or and something you may not have thought about might come up as a result of those conversations. So for us, the next step is like, okay, like we feel like we've got something here, we've built the traction, let's like validate our further ideas before we then invest tons of money in building something. I don't want to build something that nobody's going to want to use or want to come along to. And then once we've kind of secured that support, then it's go, go, go from there, basically.
I just really love the whole story of you creating a podcast and you really built a business out of that, because you treated it like the medium of delivering the message to the problem that you were trying to solve. And then obviously after that, now that you've built the audience, it's like building other things. The same way like any other business is like they go out with their hero product and then now they've got like a different one, but the mission is still the same. So I love that you've used up the podcast medium to that way. And it's really refreshing for me to see, because I love obviously the art of podcasting, and you using it in that way is amazing. So Gabby, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. It was such a pleasure talking to you. How can people stay in touch with you and Talk 20s?
First of all, thanks for having me. I love what you're doing, Millennial Entrepreneur. I think, you know, it's an amazing platform that young people, to get young people speaking about starting their own businesses. But yeah, if you want to listen to the Talk 20s podcast, we're obviously on all platforms, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and you can watch us in the studio as well on YouTube. And then you can search us on all platforms at Talk 20s, Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, if it's still standing, but before Elon Musk destroys it. all the platforms.
Thank you so much for coming on the podcast again, and yeah, I'm sure we'll talk very soon. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of The Millennial Entrepreneur. I hope you enjoyed. If you did, it would be amazing if you could leave a 5-star written review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen. Subscribe to us on YouTube as well. You can listen and watch the full video episodes on there. If you do not follow us on Instagram, then please do, because that's where all the previews, all the value posts and all that, a lot of inspiration gets posted there. And yeah, thank you so much for listening again, and I'll catch you in the next one.